Good day, and welcome to today's iPro Application of Organizational Cultural Change Concept in the Home Health Community of Practices conference call. This call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Sarah Butterfield. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. This is our first conference call meeting with our 19 New York State home health agencies that are going to be in the Systems Improvement and Organizational Culture Change Identified Participant Group. Our presentation today is going to focus on application of organizational culture change concepts to the home health agency setting. And it's officially launching our collaboration with you on the culture change focus for the ACE scope of work. Those of you who registered for today's call, we provided you with via email a copy of two PowerPoint slide presentations that we'll reference during today's presentations, and also a program evaluation form that we would appreciate you completing at the end of the call. As a reminder, as Jamika said, the conference call session is being taped, and we're going to be posting it to the home health section of our website next week, and that'll make it available to you and any of your staff for future review. The slides and the power program evaluation form will also be posted to that. The access to that is at www.ipro.org/HHQI, and it's www.ipro.org/HHQI. And once you log into the website, you'll notice on the right-hand menu selection for resources, and look for organizational culture change under there. That'll bring you to the audio and the ability to download the slides and the evaluation form. You should also have handy to reference during today's presentation the hard copy organizational culture change resource materials we forwarded to you. We sent those out on January 20th. The packet contained a paper copy of the survey tool, the plan of action resource material, and a CD-ROM that has an electronic version of all of these materials, as well as the telehealth toolkits, the Telehealth Reference 2005 toolkit, and the disease management toolkit. Today's session will begin with a presentation from our expert guest speaker, Dr. David Bowen. And following Dr. Bowen's presentation, we're going to open the lines up for your questions and comments and further discussion with Dr. Bowen. And then after that, I'm going to provide you with an overview of the culture change survey tool. We'll discuss the plan of action development and the next steps for this initiative. Then we'll open the lines up again for your questions and discussions. Now, we're very pleased to have with us today, for today's presentation, Dr. David Bowen. Dr. Bowen is the Vice President for Research and Development at the Delmarva Foundation in Easton, Maryland. Dr. Bowen has played many roles during his career, both at Delmarva and before. He received his doctorate in clinical psychology from Biola University in California in 1978. Prior to joining Delmarva in 1996, he had an 18-year career in clinical and consulting psychology, where he consulted on organizational development as well as providing a full range of clinical services. In 1996, he joined Delmarva Foundation as the Chief Information Officer and led the development of Internet-based information and quality improvement services. His work on a range of special projects led to full-time assignment developing and testing strategies for quality improvement, including culture and teamwork improvement. As the Vice President for Research and Development, he leads special projects on quality and culture, hospital teamwork, and knowledge transfer, as well as the joint effort with the American College of Cardiology to study high-performing cardiology teams. And Dr. Bowen was instrumental in facilitating the development of the culture change survey tools that you have in hand and the resources, as well as the tool itself, for CMS for this initiative. And Dr. Bowen, I'll turn the call over to you.
Thank you, Sarah, and thank you for that nice introduction.
You're welcome.
What I would like to do during this call is convey to you a way of looking at culture that we believe helps people to come up with practical, even common sense ways in which they can make some useful changes to the culture within their agency. It's a helpful way to understand culture, and it's also a useful way, especially because culture for many people is such a vague, abstract concept. It's been very difficult for a lot of people to get their arms around it, so to speak. So our objectives are to give you something that we think will help you to understand culture in a useful way, and then identify a couple of key concepts for using that model that we hope will get you started in applying it. So to get started with that, and if you're looking at your slides, I'm now going to speak to the slide titled A Metaphor for Culture. I'm going to start with a very broad understanding of this culture model, and as we proceed through the talk, I'm going to work to more and more specific examples, ending with a specific illustration of how you would use this in an agency. But starting at the most general level, I want to suggest a metaphor for you to help you to get started in understanding this. And this metaphor actually came to me when I was listening to a person talk about culture and healthcare. And the speaker said, healthcare is like walking in the woods where you're going through and you're taking care of the trees, and culture is the air that you breathe. And I thought, I really liked the first part of that metaphor, but I really did not like the second part. If culture is the air that you breathe, then how do you work on it? How do you improve it? What do you do with it? And that's really been at the heart of the trouble with culture, because if you define it as everything, it's really not a very helpful concept. So I came up with a change to that metaphor, and I said, if healthcare is walking in the woods, culture is the path that helps you find your way through the woods. Culture as the path is the infrastructure, the support that gives you guidance and assistance and support that makes it easier to find and take care of those trees. And there's a couple things about that metaphor that I hope will be helpful, and two in particular that I want to emphasize. The first is, clearly the path is different than the trees. The path has to do with helping people moving in the same direction, helping them get to a common destination. It facilitates taking care of the trees, but it is not the same thing. The second thing about that metaphor is the process of creating and managing the path is clearly different than the process of taking care of the trees. And that's at the heart of this whole model of culture, which is culture as the infrastructure is distinct from the process of providing the care. We're defining culture in this sense as building the capacity and the support for providing care, a process that is largely the responsibility of management. It is essential to providing good care, but it's not the same thing. And that's a distinction that I'm going to elaborate on as we walk through this. And so going to the next slide, we're basically saying that culture is the infrastructure of the organization, and further, it's the management processes around that infrastructure. It's related to quality outcomes. It's related to delivering good care. But again, it's not exactly the same thing. On the second slide, I have a picture of a lighthouse. I live near the Chesapeake Bay. We have a lot of lighthouses here, and partly probably why that stood out for me. And to emphasize that distinction, if you look at that picture, you can see how there's a foundation there holding up the lighthouse, and the lighthouse in turn supports the light. Getting the light out there is the critical process for guiding ships, but without a good foundation, that light would not be very effective. Building and maintaining the foundation are different than the process of getting the light out. And so that's really the key to our model, is how they are different. I'm going to jump ahead a slide. I switched the order of slide 6 and 7 and jump to the slide, why structure matters. And the structure is important because in order to do quality care, it's important that care can be delivered in a consistent manner. It's a truism of quality improvement that before you can improve something, you have to be able to repeat it. You have to be able to do it in a consistent fashion. Otherwise, your efforts to improvement don't mean anything because you're working on a different process every time that you do it. And there's where the infrastructure comes in. It makes consistency possible. And in fact, that consistency that's so fundamental to being able to do any kind of quality improvement. But now, going to slide 6, titled Focus on Structure Alone, just focusing on the structure, while very important, in and of itself is not enough for lasting culture change. And so we're going to add a concept here that just changing the infrastructure alone doesn't necessarily lead to change. And you probably know this from experience. If you look at programs like Total Quality Management, Baldrige, ISO, those are all programs that focus on building the organization's capacity, but they vary widely in terms of their success with different organizations. Back in the late 70s and early 80s, some people at IBM were looking at that problem. Why was it that total quality management seemed to work in some locations and some departments and not in others? And they took a close look at that, and they observed some differences between the places, the departments, where total quality management took hold and they were highly successful, and those where it did not take hold. And they observed that there was a particular approach that the successful organizations took, a particular approach to implementing total quality management. And their observation was that there were certain steps that were necessary for success in building their infrastructure. And furthermore, that these steps needed to occur in a certain order. In a sense, what they were saying was, building your capacity as an organization is a developmental process. That means not only are there steps to it, but there's a necessary order to those steps. And it's important to build a foundation at the early steps, which then supports the next step, which then supports the next step, and so on. And when a department or organization recognizes that, they have far more success. I'm going to the slide, Strengths of Quality Capability. Their observation about improvement being developmental led to a particular model called the Capability Maturity Model. And this is a model that has been around for about 20 years or more. It began in engineering, but for the last 5 years in particular, it's been spreading to a number of other settings and organizations. And this model basically describes the steps that are necessary for sustainable quality. In effect, it says that there needs to be a foundation that is developed, which makes it possible to have a consistent process, which then makes it possible to have measures, which then changes how you manage. And when you combine a focus on building your structure with this developmental approach, you have the greatest potential for success at achieving sustainable quality performance. And so that's at the heart of our model for quality improvement and culture change, building the capacity for sustainable quality service. The next slide, quality capability stages. They defined the stages for improvement in this way. First of all, they said that at the most basic level, an organization can be described as approaching quality and approaching their services in an ad hoc way. What that means is it essentially depends upon the talent and expertise of individuals to be successful. Sometimes we call that providing a quality product because of the heroic efforts of individuals. You may see examples of that in your own organization. I certainly see it in mine, or you've observed this elsewhere, where the quality of care at an agency really is linked to key individuals. It's not so much the product of a highly effective organization as much as it is the product of an effective individual. The problem with that is it's not sustainable. People come and go, and when you bring in another individual to replace that highly effective individual, many times you find yourself starting all over again. The next stage in development is to get beyond dependence upon effective individuals and begin to build a model that structures how the organization approaches quality and delivery of services. And it's at this stage where an organization begins to look at their processes and define how they are to be done. They begin to create some consistency. And that is a critical stage and a challenging stage for many organizations, where they begin to spell out how they want people to go about, in our case, in delivering care. And when they begin to develop that consistency and have that well defined, it makes possible the development to the next step, which is to measure what they're doing. Until you have consistency, measurement doesn't mean anything, because you're not measuring the same thing time after time. Once you have a consistent process, now you can develop measures. You can put in place metrics that tell you how well people are working those processes, as well as how effective are the processes themselves. Once those are in place, an interesting thing begins to happen. When an organization has consistent processes and they have measures to show if the processes are working, it's at that point that we find that the staff at that organization experience the organization as a professionally run organization. And it's at that level that the data shows that there's a significant change in the staff satisfaction with the agency and with their jobs, and a significant drop in turnover. And there's some interesting things about that, because things begin to change in critical ways when an organization begins to implement those measures. One of the things that happens is that management changes. When you begin to measure consistent process, and you make those measures available to everybody, everybody can see how well things are being run and what needs to be improved. And so the management of those processes can now be shared. It's no longer the domain of just one individual with the title of a manager. And that's part of people beginning to feel more like they are treated as professionals and that they are part of running a professional agency. And it's that that moves them into the fourth stage of this developing, or what some people call the maturing of an organization, where they begin to do what is called evidence-based management, where they are monitoring the measures and they are making management decisions based upon that data. By the way, there's an interesting article in the January Harvard Business Review about evidence-based management, if you're interested in reading more about that. Once you have a staff and management team that are experienced in managing from data, then it's possible to move into the fifth and highest stage of this capacity building, a stage of continuous improvement. Because when you have consistency, when you have data, and you're familiar with working with data, now the organization gets into a stage where people begin to become more creative. They start learning from the data. What's the data telling us about what works and what doesn't work? What innovations might we come up with to make things work better? And they begin implementing tests and changes and monitoring their impact and looking for other ways to improve them. So that, then, is the model that has been developed and has been applied in many industries, and which we're calling the quality capability model. And that's the model that we have been applying to home healthcare, and which we have been using in developing a series of change packages for QIOs and home health agencies to use to begin to look in a focused way at building capacity in home health agencies. I'm moving down to the slide, QCM and OBQI. One of the things that was interesting to us as we began to think about models and beginning to develop this approach to culture were the similarities between this approach and OBQI. In some respects, they're very similar processes. OBQI, to oversimplify it, is asking you to convene a group of experienced staff, look at a particular clinical process, begin to analyze what is behind that process, identify some opportunities for improvement, and do that using evidence to guide that discussion, implement a change, and then use evidence to evaluate that change. That's similar to the process we're describing with culture, but there's a fundamental difference. And if there's only one or two things you get from this talk, here's one of them. The culture change is a focus on the basic capacity and management of the organization that makes the clinical care possible, as opposed to a specific clinical focus. OBQI, while it addresses some issues that are related to capacity and infrastructure, is largely a specific clinical process focus. Let me give you an example. I was talking with some people from a hospital just last week about culture change in their hospital, and they were wondering what to focus on. They described to me how they wanted to improve infection control, and so the nurse manager went on the unit and said to the staff, we're going to do a series of PDSAs to reduce the frequency of infection on this unit. More than half the people on the unit responded, what is a PDSA? Now, a specific process and focus might be to bring in somebody and teach all of those people what is PDSA. And that would probably be a useful thing to do and help them to do those specific projects. But, and this is the crux of the point I'm making, that specific focused effort would do nothing to build their capacity to continuously do quality improvement efforts. Building capacity would be to step back and ask the infrastructure question, if PDSA is essential to our quality improvement efforts, why is it then that most of the people here don't even know what PDSA is? What needs to take place in our orientation of new employees? What does HR need to do to assess the understanding of the hospital's quality improvement model and the skills that are needed to carry out that model, and whether or not we're carrying out the programs needed to build those skills in individuals, so that when somebody goes onto the unit and says, we need to do PDSAs to reduce infection, people already know what that process is. They are experienced in conducting it. They know what their roles and responsibilities are. And in effect, you are plugging a clinical focus into an existing capacity for quality improvement. Reducing surgical infection is a specific clinical focus. Building the capacity to do quality improvement is a cultural focus. And that's a distinction you'll hear me say time and time again. And it goes right back to having conversations with the staff. It's not about clinical focus. We're not saying that clinical focus is wrong or that it's any less important. But we're saying it's different than focusing on building your capacity. I'm going to jump over to the slide. The section starts the domains of home health culture. In applying this model, this approach to building capacity in home health agencies, we asked a couple of questions of a panel of experts. And we said to them, help us to understand what are the essential areas for cultural change and improvement in a home health agency. And I'm going to move through this a little more quickly. We asked this of our experts, and they came back and identified a number of key areas for us from which we then developed a survey instrument. And just walking through those areas, first of all, they said it's important that an agency have some defining model or concept of quality improvement, which in general we think would be OBQI, but could be many different things. It could be Baldrige, it could be ISO, or could be OBQI. But there needs to be a framework that organizes and guides the agency's approach to quality improvement. Secondly, they said teamwork is essential. It's essential throughout healthcare. It's particularly important within the home health agency, and in some ways unique in the home health agency. because the teams are more distributed and less likely, just to give you an example, to be at the point of delivery care at the same time, then teamwork poses some special challenges. And so teamwork was an important area for building capacity. Third, we talked about communication. While communication certainly overlaps with teamwork, we said in some ways it was different and has to do with some particular communication skills, how people are interacting, managing their relationships and so on, which are also different from communication, from teamwork. And so we defined those to be distinct from one another. Fourth, they talked about care coordination and basically how different professionals understand how their roles complement one another, coordinate the delivery of care. Fifth, we talked about leadership as another area that's very important. And we developed the idea of leadership not only in terms of executive or senior leadership, but we expanded that concept to include management and also what we're describing as shared leadership. If you think back to my example of when the data on how the agency is performing becomes available to everyone, it's possible for more people to participate. Furthermore, effective teams are often characterized by sharing responsibility and leadership at different times. And that's what we're referring to as shared leadership, how leadership arises from among the staff. And so we took a look at leadership in all three of those areas, executive leadership, management, and shared leadership. The sixth area has to do with patient-centered care. The seventh had to do with organizational learning. How well does the organization actually learn from the evidence that it's gathering about its performance? And then lastly, information management, which includes information technology and how well that is developed and used. We built a survey that addresses all of those areas, and basically each area, it asks the staff's perception of how well the infrastructure or capacity is developed in each of those areas. The idea being that the results can be used in a conversation with the staff to help focus the intervention effort not only on a particular area, but further in using our developmental framework, where in that developmental path does the agency need to focus its efforts? And then from that, in these change packages we're working on, we took those eight areas and we broke them down a little bit further into strategies within each of them related to building capacity. And you'll see the slide titled Providing More Guidance, Culture Improvement Strategies. Broadly speaking, the strategies that we defined were building a basic foundation for that particular area. For example, building a foundation for teamwork, how to motivate staff to do those things that are important related to teamwork, for example, how to shape the workforce capacity. Shaping the workforce has to do with how the agency supports and promotes professional development, skill development, and so on. And then lastly, developing the organization's capacity for continued development, its management practices. How well does the organization foster innovation, help people to be creative, generate new ideas and test those new ideas? Those are the broad strategies that cut across all of those. The resulting change packages then use this framework of selecting a domain. Teamwork would be one, leadership would be another. Breaks that down into developmental steps and describes those developmental steps across four broad strategies. So then let's take a look more specifically at the intervention process and how all of this would work. Starting with the slide intervention process, we're suggesting that the process begins with the survey tool, and Sarah's going to talk a little bit more about that survey tool and the plan of action with it. That's one survey tool that you can use. There are probably a variety of them that could be used. It's not essential that you have to use that particular survey, although we encourage that because it's one that's more closely aligned to this entire process. But you begin with a survey, and then the next part of this is to use that survey in a conversation with the people who completed the survey. And what you're doing is basically saying to the staff, let's talk about what these results tell us about our agency. And here's where you need to remember my distinction between a specific focus for improvement versus building capacity. So if the feedback says, for example, that we need to improve patient-centered care, you could say, okay, let's hold a seminar on patient-centered care, or you could ask, what needs to be built into the agency to facilitate a patient-centered approach to care? What needs to be built into our capacity? If it is training, then what needs to be built into the management of that training so we know if the training is working and if we're teaching the right things and if, in fact, the training is having the effect that we hope that it will have? That's what it means, again, to build that capacity. Let me jump to an example. If you go ahead two slides, there's one titled Survey Example. This is a report that brings together results of a number of surveys completed by the staff in one agency and basically takes their average scores and shows them according to the eight different areas. And so you would take a report like this and you would distribute it among the staff and you would sit down and say, how do you understand these scores? In your mind, what do they tell you about our agency? And let's say, for example, we have a low score on patient-centered approach to care, or we have a low score on leadership. What is there about the agency that would lead to that low score, and what needs to happen to build that capacity? And so you would have this conversation with the staff, and not only what do those scores mean, but given several possibilities, which area would be most important, most valuable for us to focus our efforts for improvement? The staff then would engage in that conversation and they would begin to talk about how they experience working in that setting, what supports are available to them or not, and what needs to be built into the agency to provide more supports. And from that, you would begin to construct an approach to improvement and intervention. And so it's at that point I'm going to segue over to Sarah in just a moment, but let me repeat my key points for you for just a moment. So first of all, we said culture change is about building agency capacity by enhancing the infrastructure and the management of that infrastructure. Further, we're saying that building capacity is most successful when it follows a stepwise process. And that stepwise process can be described as establish a framework, establish consistent processes that reflect that framework, measure what you're doing, manage from those measures, and continuously improve. And that when the improvement effort is approached in that way, you change the structures of the organization, you change the behaviors of individuals in this way, and as a result, the culture changes. Even if we define culture in a very broad way and saying it's values and attitudes and opinions about the organization, we're still saying this approach changes those things because they are the result of the ways in which staff interact with the structures and management processes of the agency. Change those things and the culture will change. Furthermore, change them in this way following these steps and those changes will be sustainable. So let me pause and Sarah, I think we want to open it up for some questions or comments.
Yes, please. Jamaica, if you could open the lines up for questions for Dr. Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Bowen. Today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, do so by pressing the star key, followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please turn off your mute function to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, if you would like to ask a question, do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. And we will pause for just a moment.
Dr. Bowen, while we're pausing for the first question, can I just ask you to talk a little bit about how agencies should approach selection of the team within their organization to work on culture change?
Good question. Let me think about just a moment. It kind of begs the size of the agency, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a small agency, we might imagine that the entire agency could be seen as one team. And in a larger agency where there are perhaps different groups of individuals, different areas of focus, you may want to choose a smaller group. I think that one of the things to keep in mind would be individuals who depend upon each other for success in their part of delivering care. And you want to bring those people together because effectively they are the team. And so whoever it is that I follow on them in terms of their care or the things that they are doing impact my ability to do my job, then I want to work together with them, and I would define those people as a team.
Mm-hmm.
I think the size is not particularly critical. I think it could be a small number of people, you know, if it's a smaller agency, and it could be as many as 15 or 20 people. Beyond that, it becomes difficult for people to be brought together in a discussion group and begin to identify areas for improvement. But I think that there's a lot of leeway there depending upon the size and structure of the agency.
Okay, great.
And once again, if you would like to ask a question, that is star 1 on your touchtone telephone. And Ms. Butterfield, it appears we have no questions at this time.
Great. Dr. Bowen is going to stay with us so that if there are any questions that you think of after the end of the next piece of the presentation, I'm sure he would be more than happy to answer some questions for us. I think it's probably so new to us, Dr. Bowen, that we're probably not going to have the questions until we actually start applying it. I think that's when the questions will start to arise.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think it's a lot of information to take in, and until people start to work with it, it's hard to have those questions. But we'll be available to help people as more questions come up.
Definitely. And thank you so much. Okay. Jamika, is it okay to go on to the next part of the presentation?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. We're going to move to your second set of slides that are entitled The Organizational Culture Change Survey Tool and Plan of Action Workbook. Again, I want to thank Dr. Bowen for sharing the theory behind the concepts of the organizational culture change and the work that's gone into his design and development of the initiative and the survey tool itself. We're definitely hearing from the expert today. The next part of the call, I'm going to focus on the culture change survey tool and then application of the tools and resources that are available to implement the initiative. Again, this is a lot to digest, and we have resource guides. You have our home health home project team that will be with you each step of the way in designing results of the tool, results of the survey, the plans of action will help guide you along the way. So let's look at slide number 2. I'm going to review our objectives for this piece of the presentation. We're going to explain the process for staff access and completion of the online culture change survey. And we formatted the tool so you can access it online to complete the information in a more efficient, timely manner. We would prefer if staff could complete it online, but certainly if you have special circumstances within your organization, i.e. your staff aren't able to access the tool or access the internet, we'll have that discussion with you and we can work with that. But to the extent possible, we'd like the tool to be completed online. We're going to review the Culture Change Plan of Action tools and resources that we forwarded to you a couple weeks back, and also discuss the timeline and the next steps for the Culture Change Initiative, and we'll walk through the timeline for that. Excuse me. Now, as Dr. Bowen outlined for you, the Culture Change Survey Tool focuses on assessment of 3 main dimensions within your organization, and you'll find those listed for you on slide number 3. The survey dimensions being how your agency leads care quality, how people at your agency work together, and the agency's approach to delivering safe, quality care. The purpose of the survey or assessment tool is really to gather agency-specific information on those three dimensions and to be able to analyze the responses. And as you heard, that in turn will trigger team discussion to help guide selection of one or more areas for culture change to build a plan of action around, to really target improved organizational culture. And as Dr. Bowen noted, the results of the survey tool should be utilized really as a springboard for discussion within your organization. Unlike after you do a process of care investigation, which you're used to all doing for a clinical quality initiative, the survey tool results will not necessarily give you a precise detail or a problem statement on what to address. The important piece is really the communication with the staff, the discussion as you heard, and that'll help generate discussions that lead you to some specific areas that you may want to focus your performance efforts around for the initiative. We're going to move to slide number 5, and the exact same survey tool you have in that packet of information that we provided to you is going to be administered at two specific time points. Think of it as baseline and remeasurement. For baseline measurement, the tool is going to be available to your staff to complete online as of February 1st. It's available right now, following the call if you want to get a jump start. And it'll be available through the end of March, March 31st, 06. We will terminate the tool online so that we can make sure everybody's responses are in. The remeasurement period, again, same survey tool, that is going to be conducted January 07 to February 07. And we'll have more specific dates as we get closer to 2007. The remeasurement will take place well after you've had a chance to select your target area, have a developed team, and to develop and implement a plan of action to support, with the support, again, of our home health project team. Now, slide number 6 provides you with the information that regarding completion of the survey tool. As Dr. Bowen mentioned, it consists of 8 questions. Estimated time for completion, 10 to 15 minutes. It can take longer, again, depending on the person utilizing the tool. We strongly suggest you request a diverse set of staff complete the survey tool. All levels of your staff should be included. You should have at least one manager and one frontline staff person included. And you'll note on the slide that we need a minimum of 6 of your staff to complete the survey tool. And you'll see in a minute when we review the online tool that it just doesn't ask for the names of the staff, but rather their role within the agency. And that was done on purpose. You can have certainly as many staff as you would like to complete the survey. Just make sure there are at least 6. And in my way of thinking, the more staff that you have complete the survey tool, the better as far as being able to analyze your results. If you think about it, no one person really has the complete picture of the agency, so everyone's perceptions will be different, and you really want the overall perception of the staff within the organization. One of the people on the call today had shared with me that they had distributed the paper tool to some of their staff, and the staff were actually anxious to see how their answers compared to that of the manager, which I think is interesting. Again, that springboard for discussion. Because the tool is web-based, the staff can certainly trust the confidentiality of the tool. It doesn't ask for their email address. It doesn't ask, as I mentioned, for their name. Again, this is done on purpose because we want to really strongly encourage honesty and openness in their responses. It'll just really ask them, as you'll see shortly, to fit themselves into one of the 4 categories listed on the tool. Specifically, as managers that are on the call, we don't want you to worry about your agency responses, what they will show. The way this will work is we will aggregate the responses for your individual agency, and we will share that information with you confidentially. You don't have to worry about us sharing your results with the other agencies within this group. Our team, Chris and Susan and I, will be the only ones aggregating the results, and then we'll meet individually with you to review your agency's results. So I don't want you to be stressed out over worrying about what the results are going to show. We did have one of our colleagues in another state share with us one of the agencies within their state, the management, sent the survey results out to an outside consultant before they were submitted to the QIO. We certainly don't want you to you know, think that you need to do that, this is really to help you identify opportunities for improvement within your organization. And the results, again, will be between you and us working with you for your plan of action development. On the bottom of slide number 6, you're going to find the URL address to access the survey tool online. You can certainly copy and paste this address to your web browser. Just hit enter, and it'll take you to the screen that you're going to see that's listed on slide number 7. This is the initial screen on slide number 7 that you'll see once you access the tool. It provides you with a brief introduction. It provides our contact information should you get to this point and have some questions or should your staff have questions. And I would encourage you to call us if they do. We'd be more than happy to help them with any point of the survey tool. It announces that the tool is available from February 1st to March 31st for completion. And you'll see in that first sentence on the top another URL address. If they just click on that, you only need to click on that, it will bring you to the first page of the survey tool that you can see on slide number 8. The initial page provides an explanation of the dimensions surveyed by the tool. You also note the request to select the statement that in general best describes your agency at this time, and also the ability to include additional comments that would assist us in better understanding your agency. And you're going to see that comment section at the end of the tool as you move through following question number 8. You'll notice that it prompts you right under your agency for your Medicare provider number. We need each person completing the survey to enter your agent's Medicare provider number, as this is how we're going to track responses to be able to aggregate the data for your agency. You'll see the area there to enter that. In advance of the survey tool, when you provide directions to your staff on how to complete that, I would strongly suggest you make sure that they have your Medicare provider number, your 337 following three-digit number to be able to get in. If for some reason the incorrect Medicare provider number is entered, you're going to receive the message that shows on slide number 9. At the top of the screen, you'll get a red area that says, to please enter your agency Medicare provider number that begins with the following three numbers. So it actually prompts them to know what it is to put in. Once that number is correctly entered, you're well on your way to completing the survey tool. Slide number 10 contains the next screen that becomes visible on the tool, which is your agency name will show up. You've already entered your Medicare provider number. The tool will recognize your agency's name. You see ABC Home Care up there. And it'll ask for the person completing the tool to define their role. And again, those categories are management, direct care staff, consultant, support, and other. So they can. That is the only thing that will identify them as far as category, their job role, not their name, not their address, anything like that. The screen further tells you further down that there are 8 questions following that each have 4 descriptions asking you to select the description that best fits your agency. And you'll note in the description that it asks what is most characteristic. And from a couple of discussions I've had with a couple people on the call, when they went to answer the questions, they may not agree with the total response in or description in the choices. But you may not agree with all parts of this description, but you're going to select the description that is most characteristic of the 4 choices for your particular agency. And remember, it's at the current time. The next screen that's shown on slide 11 will start you off with the first question. Once a description is selected, you click Next to go to the next question. Note at the bottom right-hand corner, you have the option to go back if you should want to review the instructions again. If you should choose to just answer the question, click Next and you can move on to the next question. All of the 8 questions do need to be answered, and if, for instance, you try to bypass question 1 or bypass question 3 and move to question 4, it'll prompt you to enter a response for that particular question, and that's because we definitely need, in order to assess the culture, be able to have all of these areas a description for each. On slide 12, you're going to see the screenshot of the last question, question 8. Again, with the option to go back and the new option down there to finish in the bottom right-hand corner. And once you click finish, it brings you to the screenshot that you'll see on slide number 13. It thanks you and announces that you're done with the survey tool. Our contact information is provided for you there also again. It provides you with a final list of the questions and your responses to the questions, and you have the ability from that screen to print out your responses should your staff or should you want them to share the responses with you, which is up to you. But it will allow you to keep a response to each of the questions that you selected for all 8 of them. Again, the tool records each individual survey tool by agency Medicare provider number, and again, we'll use that to aggregate your individual agency results to share with you. There are two change survey tool reports that we will be able to provide for you. We'll generate for you based upon the staff responses. One is the statistical summary report, the second being the response summary report. And as Dr. Bowen mentioned, very important that you share, we'll review these reports with you, but that you share the results with your staff to generate discussion, select priority areas that you'd like to focus on within your organization. And we wanted to give you a sense of what the tools looked like. So on slide 15, you'll see an example of the statistical summary report. Again, this is for ABC Home Health. And this report details the number of staff by role who completed the survey. The responses are provided with a mean and standard deviation noted for each of the 8 questions. And we'll be able to provide you this report for your agency. The second report is listed on slide 16, and this is the response summary report. It shows for ABC Home Health Care, it details the percentages per response for each of the 8 questions. So, for example, question number 1, which of the following best describes how your agency approaches quality improvement and safety? 71% of the respondents selected description A, which is improvement depends on the efforts of individuals, improvement efforts do not use a standardized improvement model, and therefore projects cannot be replicated or improved. So based on what we've learned so far, that may be one area for discussion that the staff may want to focus on for that particular agency. Our project team are going to review these results with each of you individually, and again, these will guide you to the selection, further discussion to select one of those domain areas to report on. And just to reinforce, again, with the example that Dr. Bowen gave, and you're looking at a specific process versus the culture focus. Specific process, what were you all used to doing, like improving one clinical measure, as he provided the example, hand washing to control infection. What we're focusing on is really the culture focus, looking at that infrastructure that we need to put into place to grow, to improve, and sustain the improvement for the organization. Think back to the original tree in the forest metaphor. So once you have your agency's results, that'll guide your selection of target area, and then we will work with you to develop a plan of action to support your performance improvement efforts on the specific domain area that you've selected. So I want to move to slide 18. We'll talk a little bit about plan of action development. You have a hard copy and an electronic version of this on a CD-ROM in the packet that we sent you. There is a PO template, and as outlined, the PO template lists 7 areas of domains that you can focus your plan of action around. And again, you're moving to this step once you have had a discussion with your staff on priority areas for focus. So on slide 18, you'll see the domains listed for you, guiding model for quality improvement, leadership demonstration of commitment to quality, team approach to care, communication, patient-centered care coordination, and other. And the resource guide that we provided you really is an excellent resource. It provides further definitions of each of these categories and can help guide you to what domain to select on based upon your team input. There is a plan of action template that is provided in the packet, again, electronically and in hard copy. You'll see that on slide 19. This will look familiar to you. It's similar to the plans of action that templates that you've used in the past. The same steps you're used to following for OBQI POA development. If you haven't reviewed the electronic version of this on the CD-ROM we sent you, on the electronic version has a really neat feature. When you put your cursor over any of the plan of action areas, for instance, if you held it out over step number one, measurement, it automatically brings you to the section in the culture change plan of action resource guide that talks about measurement and provides you with guidance on completing this particular section. And that's true for each of these sections throughout the plan of action. You'll see it's familiar to you. You have the domain that you're going to identify that you're going to be focusing on, identified problem or strength statement, some behaviors or processes selected for improvement. And again, in the resource guide, there are areas to guide you through that step, as we'll be here to help you also. And then some intervention actions. The slide 20 shows the second half of the POA template. Again, this is familiar to you, same mechanism. Electronic version helps you guide particular filling in for that section. And we'll provide you with as much or as little guidance as you'd like developing your plan of action. The final version, as we've done in the past, we ask that you submit it to us. And as with other plans of action that we've done in the past, we'll review it and provide you with feedback. So let's, before we open the lines up, let's talk a little bit about the timeline for the initiative, and you'll see that outline starting on slide 21. The survey tool is available for completion now, and we'll keep that open up till March 31st. We'll aggregate the results of your individual agency survey responses and share that with each of you by August 14th. Once the survey results are received by the agency, you should start with your discussion, use those reports that we talked about to springboard that discussion and to select an area and start development of your culture change plan of action. We'd like you to have those plans of action to us for review by June 16th, and that'll give you a two-month period to complete the plan of action. And as I mentioned, once you submit it to us, we will provide you with feedback. You then really have approximately a six-month time frame to work on your selected area improvement, following the next step, which would be the remeasurement period, which is listed for you on slide 22. Agency staff for remeasurement, the survey tool will be available between January 1st, 2007 to February 28th, 2007, which seems like it's a long way off, but believe me, it's not. Remeasurement results will be shared with each agency individually by us by March 9th, 2007. And if there's any revisions or updates to your culture change plan of action based on the results for the remeasurement, those will be due to us by April 20th, 2007. And again, each of you, your agencies, has either Chris, myself, or Susan assigned to work with you to be able to achieve those timelines and develop your plan of action and encourage your success. If you haven't had a chance to look at the Culture Change Plan of Action Resource Guide, I would suggest you do that. Again, you may want to look at the electronic version that is provided to you on the CD-ROM. We'll support you each step of the way, and you will most likely be successful where there's broad participation across your agency. Important that discussion be both formal and informal, that discussion is encouraged, and the team members are able to be honest and open with regards to their feelings and design and development of the plan of action. Now, there are, as I mentioned, 19 New York State Home Health Agencies in the Systems Improvement Group. And many of you have already started some component of organizational culture change. You'll notice that CMS partnered the organizational culture change initiative with the telehealth initiative, which is not a coincidence. Those of you that have implemented telehealth or are in the process of implementing telehealth really have undergone some component of organizational culture change to be able to accommodate 24-hour a day, 7 day a week telehealth coverage and follow-up for your patients. So some of this you may have already done without even realizing and be able to grow from there and, again, to build that infrastructure. One of the best opportunities as a member of this group is for the members to share their experiences, success stories, even barriers so we can all learn from one another. And our project team will also be sharing the national perspective with you all, shared by other quality improvement organizations that are working on this initiative with their agencies also, because this is really a national collaborative. So on to slide 24, and in support of shared learning, I borrowed this slide to share with you from our colleagues on the Home Health Project, the Northeast Healthcare Quality Foundation, and they're the quality improvement organization for Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont, because I like this slide, to be inspired. Be courageous enough to survey your staff and learn your results. Be willing to take constructive criticism that will improve care and staff satisfaction. Form a trusting, functional team, and use that team approach to care plans, improving quality outcomes, and utilize the power of many ideas versus the power of one, which I think is very important and probably the basis for the work that we're going to be doing. As always, Susan, Chris, and I welcome the opportunity to collaborate with you and your team to support any of the performance improvement efforts for this initiative. Yet again, slide 25 provides you with our contact information, and we will be contacting you also to see if there's anything we can offer to help guide the project. So, Jamika, let's open the line up for questions and any feedback from the agencies, if you would, please.
Thank you, Ms. Sutterfield. And as a reminder, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. Again, that is star followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. And we will take our first question from Pamela White with Northeast Healthcare.
Hi, Sarah. This is Pam with the QIO in New Hampshire. We service New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont. And we have collected many of the surveys already and are in the process of collating the data. I just wanted to encourage your agencies to have as many people as possible fill out the surveys. I think it certainly gives a better feedback loop in terms of how everyone in your agency is feeling across all staff and types of personnel. The other thing that I'd like to share as a lesson learned that we didn't ask our agencies to do is to make sure that any agency, any participant, fill out each question. We had some people not answer some of the questions or just wrote NA, and so we were unable to count those in the results, and therefore we needed to, if you had an agency, just submit 6. Mm-hmm. Surveys, it sort of only gave us one less to tabulate results. So I would encourage all the agencies as full participation as possible, and also to remember to answer each and every question. Thanks.
Thanks, Pam, for sharing that. Jamika, do we have any other questions?
Thank you, and as a reminder, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. And it appears that there are no further questions. We do have one question from Noel Luizzi with Visiting Nurses Association.
Hi, Noel.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just had a question. And when determining which staff, does this include all staff members, clinical, non-clinical, other than management, administration, all levels of staff, to clerks, to executive directors, or I just wanted to clarify that point.
Excellent question, and it should be across your organization. So certainly support staff, clinical staff, medical record staff, all of the staff within your organization should be included and have the opportunity.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
Again, that is star one if you would like to ask a question. And it appears that we have no further questions at this time. Ms. Butterfield, I would like to turn the call over to you for any closing remarks.
Okay, thank you, Jamaica. Again, I want to thank Dr. Bowen for joining us today. Definitely excellent presentation on the theory behind, and I appreciate him being with us. And thank you and you also for joining us. I'm sure you will have questions as you start to work on this, and as I said, the three of us will be working with you on it. So don't be afraid. We would encourage you to first start with disseminating the information to your staff on how to complete the survey tool. Again, if they're not able to do it online or you don't have the capacity within your agency, if you would just contact one of us and we can work that through with you and look at another alternative. We'd appreciate it also if you would complete the evaluation forms that we've provided to you. And Dr. Bowen, did you want to add anything additional before we sign off?
No, just to reinforce what you're saying about, you know, maybe begin with a little bit of an orientation to the staff, sharing with them a little bit about what we mean by culture. That is, we're talking about the organization's infrastructure, how to support them, as opposed to a specific process. Mm-hmm. As a lead in to then talking about what does the survey mean? What do the results mean?
Great. Thank you. And Chris and Susan and I will be in touch to talk further with you with regards to it. Feel free to call us at any time with any questions. And thanks again for your participation this afternoon.
And that concludes today's conference call. We thank you for your participation and have a wonderful day.